Quaid as Bowen, David Thewlis as Einan, Pete Postlethwaite as Gilbert, and Dina Meyer as Kara. Julie Christie plays Queen Aislinn, and Sean Connery is the voice of Draco. The film was directed by Rob Cohen. It was written by Charles Edward Pogue and produced by Raffaella De Laurentiis. It's voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. England, 984 AD. On a hilltop on a bright summer's day, among the ruins of an ancient castle, Sir Bowen is teaching the young Prince Einan to sword fight with wooden swords.
Not bad!
The prince thrusts at the knight, who puts his arm around the young man's neck.
Not good enough to live.
He pushes him off and grins playfully at him. Bowen is a handsome man with a beard and long hair. Einan is a feeble, spotty youth with a plain face.
Mind if I sit down? I don't have your energy. Fight with your head.
Not your heart.
A knight on horseback is racing along the narrow hillside road beneath them. The fighting lesson continues up on the ruined battlements.
Better, Einan.
You're still dead.
Then Bowen pours himself a cup of water as he parries Einan's blows, holding the sword in his other hand.
Purpose and passion.
Bowen boots him on the backside, and he falls over.
No one ever found victory in the dirt.
Brock, a gruff-looking knight, rides up to them.
The peasants are revolting.
They've always been revolting, Prince. But now, they're rebelling. King Frame wants his son to witness his noble victory.
There's nothing noble about crushing desperate men.
They're traitorous scum! The king commands! Bring him! You can come too, Ness Mead.
On the hillside down below them, a group of riders gallop across a meadow. In the background, another hill covered by dense forest. Meanwhile, on a nearby slope, a line of knights and soldiers on horseback is approaching a barricade, which is being set alight by the rebellious peasantry. Riders charge at the structure. The king's horse jumps over the wooden ramparts, and the monarch raises his sword. He is joined by the rest of his group, and the knights swing their swords at the peasant folk and head down towards the village. Bowen and Einan have now ridden down the hill and watched the chaos unfold.
I wish we were down there.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Just to see you in action, Bowen, yours would be the finest blade on the field.
My blade was not made for your father's slaughter.
He is my father, Bowen, and he is the king.
Yes. But when you were king, remember today and the difference between battle and butchery. And remember the old code. Then you'll be a greater king than your father.
The prince surveys the peasants' rebellion.
I promise, knight. I will be greater.
The king charges down the hillside, hacking down the villagers as he goes. He reaches a narrow wooden footbridge and slows the horse up and rides over it. At the end of the bridge, he picks out a flaming torch. He rides over to one of the little wooden thatched huts and drags the torch across the thatch, setting it alight. He rides around to another hut and does the same thing to it. He gallops over to another one, but a bearded male peasant confronts him.
Prince!
No, Yui! No!
A large group of the villagers burst out of one of the huts and run aggressively towards the king. The monarch tries to escape from the settlement, but his route is cut off by more villagers.
He's trapped!
Aynan! Aynan!
Aynan rides off. The king flings the torch up onto another roof. Aynan's horse gallops into a gap in the barricade. Bowen is prevented from following.
Aynan! No!
The king drops his sword and continues to search for a way out from amongst the peasantry. He's grabbed and pulled from his horse onto the ground, where the baying mob beat him with their clubs and spades.
Enough! Enough! The battle's out there!
As the group rush off in another direction, Aynan is crouching under one of the huts. He creeps out and runs over to his father, who's lying in the dirt. He kneels by him.
Father?
He very gently lifts the golden crown from off the man's helmet. But his father suddenly grabs his arm and tries to wrestle it back.
Die! It's mine!
He wrenches the crown free, and the king lies back on the floor, dead. Aynan runs away, then looks back at the villagers. A girl falls out of a burning hut and knocks into Aynan, pushing him into a wooden post with a metal spike sticking out of it. The spike pierces Aynan's chest. The girl reaches for a club to defend herself. Aynan pulls away from the spike and holds his chest in pain. The girl drops the club and takes off her helmet to reveal her long, red, flaming hair. Aynan stares at her in shock. He starts to slump onto the post. Bowen is now charging towards him.
Aynan! Aynan! I'm here, Aynan! I'm here, my king!
Bowen lifts Aynan onto his horse and rides him away. A puddle of spilled milk is mixed with the prince's blood. The girl looks down at it amidst the chaos all around her. Bowen charges towards the fortified wooden castle perched on a hillock. The queen, an attractive older lady with a kind face, is writing in her room. She looks up as Brock enters and bows his head solemnly.
Dead, madam. King Fryan, your husband, slain.
Bowen leads a group carrying the injured prince into the room.
In here! Here on the bed.
Aynan!
Get out! Out! Out, Brock, out! You stay, Bowen.
The queen stands over her boy and lifts his tunic.
Forgive me, Queen Aislinn.
There's nothing to forgive. His father's tyranny brought him to this end.
He's beyond all help.
With a sad look of resignation, she glances at a number of small dragon figurines.
Not all.
They lead a small group of men carrying the prince on a stretcher across the countryside.
A knight is sworn to valor.
Sworn to valor.
His heart knows only virtue. His blade defends the helpless. His might upholds the weakness.
You must stay awake. You must stay awake.
His might upholds the weak.
His word speaks only truth.
Wrath
undoes the wicked.
The group enter a strange underground cavern system with bubbling pools of molten lava. Stalactites hang from the ceiling and steam rises from the ground.
Brock, stay there.
Aislinn leads the rest of the group further into the great cavern.
Lord! Great One! Your song! Is sad!
Are the stars shining tonight?
No. No bright souls. pearls glitter in this darkness.
The Queen's men put the prince's stretcher down onto a large rock.
Leave us. Go.
She and Bowen stand over the young man.
Aislinn, daughter of the Celts.
Whose people loved your kind and called you friend.
The king's son. Cruel and full of trickery. Is this why you've come, Dragonslayer's wife?
Dragonslayer's widow. This boy is not his father. This knight here is his mentor. He has taught him the old code. I need your help.
She pulls back the blanket covering Einan and lifts open his jacket. There is a large bloody bundle of cloth over the wound, which she removes too.
The wound is deep. You know what you ask.
I will teach him your ways. He will grow in your grace. He will grow just and good. I swear.
No, the boy must swear. Give me your sword, knight.
Your sword?
Bowen takes a couple of paces forward and presents his sword.
Do not be afraid. He can save you.
Now listen to me, boy. Swear that your father's bloodlust and tyranny died with him. Swear that you will live and rule with mercy. Come to me and learn the once ways. Now swear!
I swear.
He seems to breathe his last breath.
Einan! Einan! He's dead!
Bowen grabs his sword.
Peace, knight of the old code. Witness the wonders of an ancient glory.
The dragon's huge clawed hands seem to reach inside his own breast. A warm glowing light shines out from it, falling across the faces of Bowen and the queen, who step back in awe. The injured prince lies motionless as the creature's hands move towards him. The light intensifies over him. Bowen looks shocked at what he's witnessing. The young man's wound now glows with the same light. Suddenly, a firebolt seals it up.
Half my heart to make you whole. Its strength to purify your weakness. Live and remember your oath.
Einan is starting to come around. Bowen stares up at the dragon. Brock moves forward with the same look of wonder, and the prince's stretcher is carried away. The queen waits a moment, then kneels reverently in front of the dragon, bowing her head slowly. She gets up, and Bowen starts to follow her out, but he stops and turns round.
I serve the father only for the sake of the son. All my hopes rest on him. Forgive a doubting fool. Call when you need of me. Ask what you will of me. My sword, my service, are yours.
Only remind him always of his vow, knight. Of the old code.
Bowen bows his head and turns to go. Then, with the night setting in, Einan is carried back along the hillside by his men.
Brock!
Your Majesty!
The Romans built this great fortress. I will rebuild it, and mine will be greater.
It will take many men, my lord, to rebuild this ruin.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Some time passes. It's a sunny day in a stone quarry. The peasant folk are standing on a wooden scaffolding in front of a large rock face. More workers carry the stone along a wooden bridge over a small lake away from the rock towards dry land. Einan sits on his horse surveying the progress as Brock rides up to him and pulls along three of the peasant leaders, handcuffed together with wooden stocks around their necks.
Not so rebellious now.
You should thank me, boy.
as my stroke made you king.
Brock holds a dagger to him.
No, Brock. I want no martyrs.
There should be a release, not a punishment.
Brock holds up a red-hot poker.
Look, good dog. I'm the last thing you'll ever see.
Burn the insolence out of his eyes.
No! No! My eyes! No! No!
Bowen rides up and releases the men.
Run!
The three men pull off their shackles and bash a couple of guards as they try and escape. One of them is stabbed by Brock.
How dare you defy me?
Einen, you're unwell. You've been bewitched. Look at this. It's madness. Remember the code. The king is above the code.
Bowen pulls him off his horse.
Have you forgotten everything I taught you? No one is above the code. Especially the king.
The young man stares distrustfully at his mentor. Bowen hugs him tightly, then gets up. Einen frowns at him. Bowen rides off. Back in the cavern.
Dragon! I love that boy and you changed him! You tricked me, Dragon!
No matter where you fly, no matter where you go, I will find you! Today I make a new vow! I will spend the rest of my life hunting you down!
12 years later, a monk rides his donkey along a path in a field.
Avalon, oh, Avalon, for you I quest each day, the resting place of Arthur and the old code of his way. And when I find those holy stones, I'll pray, I'll pray, I'll pray. Oh, Avalon, bright Avalon, think me not a fool. My quest is not for vanity. My quest is spiritual.
Spiritual? Not spiritual. Whoa!
The monk is thrown from his mount and lands in a heap in the wheat.
Everyone's a critic.
In another field nearby, the villagers scatter in panic. Brother Gilbert looks upwards as the shadow of a huge dragon flies over him. Bowen is riding his horse at a gallop towards the monster, with a bow and arrow at the ready. He reaches the monk, who is now standing by his donkey.
Yes, I know. Where?
Bowen charges off over the brow of the hill through a field of dandelion heads which throw up their seeds behind him. Brother Gilbert takes a few paces away from his donkey. He watches open-mouthed as smoke rises up in the valley beyond. A huge bundle of hay is thrown into the air. Gilbert rubs his face with shock. Bowen's horse trots up the hill out of the smoke. Gilbert shakes his head. Then Bowen emerges out of the smoke too.
Get back your horse, you coward.
Gilbert rushes over to him.
Marvellous! Heroics befitting the days of Arthur and the Round Table. Never have I seen such skill.
Then you must have lived the sheltered life of a monk.
Well, yes. A scribe, scholar, historian, and poet. Your servant, sir. Brother Gilbert of Glockenspur. My humble life is in debt to your exalted prowess, your dauntless courage, and your superb swift sword.
You have the poet's gift of exaggeration.
Oh, sir, you should read my histories. But you belittle your talent. Modesty as well as valor. The code of ancient Camelot still lives.
Hardly worthy of Camelot. Still, it's one less dragon.
Lord Felton, a sinister-looking man, rides up to them.
Well done, knight. Congratulations. Our gratitude. Mine and King Einan's.
You can keep your gratitude. I'll take the gold. Yours or the king's.
Gold, knight?
We made a bargain, remember? One dragon put down one bag of gold.
Your honor has a price, sir knight?
It has expenses. Honor won't feed my belly nor shoe my horse.
Well, the priest is right. It is your duty to protect King Einon's vassals as a knight of the realm.
Not of this realm. I've been no need of Einon.
I should have known. Foreign riffraff. Well, be gone, vagabond, before I arrest you. Back to work, you scum! If King Einon's wheat is cut before the rain, I'll do a little cutting of my own.
Gilbert gets on his donkey.
Tonight, wait! Tonight! Hear me out! I'm on a pilgrimage. Might we travel together?
The road's still free unless Einon's taxed it.
Felton frowns as Bowen passes. Then, at the reconstructed stone castle, an older Einon comes down some steps. Felton approaches him.
A road tax, King Einon. A road tax?
I mean, they are your roads, after all. People really ought to pay for the privilege of using them. And those that can't pay, of course, will have to work it off.
Ingenious, Felton. Only you could keep such a good brain under such a bad hat.
Out of my way, peacock.
What? Some are good at hunting men, some are good at hunting money. Both are value for me.
The king and Brock climb onto their horses. Brock has a falcon perched on his gauntlet. They and Felton ride out of the castle along a wooden bridge, with a small group of peasants running along behind. Then back to the quarry. Many villagers are at work in it. Some on the scaffolds, some are operating large wooden treadmills. A couple of horses are being led, dragging a cart behind them. Everywhere, people are carrying heavy baskets filled with rocks. The young redhead girl from the village has now grown into a beautiful young woman. Her way is blocked by a soldier. She stops and goes round him. She looks at an older man, one of the leaders of the uprising, who is standing chiseling the stone. He turns his head slowly. He was indeed blinded by the king's men.
I told you not to come here anymore.
I'm a disobedient child. Go on. Take a drink. Go on.
An arrow sticks in the cup.
Magnificent shot, Your Highness.
Can I double the wager?
Yes, happily. Shall we say, the water bucket?
Stand still.
The king fires an arrow into the bucket between Kara and her father.
Superb!
Double again. Why not?
Kara starts to slowly approach the king's horse.
A moving target.
Peasant scum.
Einon draws another arrow back. Kara stands in front of him defiantly.
You've got a nerve interfering with the king's sport?
There's no sport in tormenting a sick old man. I beg your majesty, let him go. It's been 12 years. Your castle is built. He can do you no more harm.
Einon looks confused for a moment.
For God's sake, release him.
He smiles at her, then fires an arrow straight into the old man's chest.
Father!
Lord said death was a release, not a punishment.
Einon rides away. Kara crouches over her father.
Cora.
His head slumps to the side, and he dies. Kara strokes his face and tenderly kisses him on the forehead. She takes off the long piece of leather from around his head and wraps it around her hand. Elsewhere, Bowen is riding his horse along a shallow river, at the end of which is a waterfall. The knight rides up to it, holding his spear in one hand and his shield in the other.
You prefer I should ride this?
Far away!
Oh, don't concern yourself with my safety! I mean, verse, meter! Shall I spice it up with a poetical flourish, or just the cold, hard facts?
If you do not be quiet, you and I shall be the only things that are cold and hard around here.
I mean, it's all very well to go hacking and whacking at dragons, but if a dragon falls in the forest and nobody gets to hear about it, does it make a thud?
Brother Gilbert!
What?
Shh!
Bowen points to the cave on the other side of the waterfall. Gilbert gets the message and goes back to writing, sitting on a large rock.
The quill is mightier than the... The quill is mightier than the...
The rock has started to move, and Gilbert is thrown into the river. A dragon's tail disappears beyond the waterfall. A skeleton flies out towards them.
That's all that's left of the last dragon slayer who tangled with me! If I were you, I'd quit while I was ahead.
Gilbert flings away a skull still wearing a helmet. Bowen launches his spear into the waterfall.
Is that the best you can do?
The spear is broken up and thrown back out.
Catch! You know, I've got quite a collection of victims in here.
I won't be added to it!
Bowen pushes his horse away.
I've given you my final warning.
Into the mouth of death he strode. Into the gringy gloom. Into the pit of fear unknown. Perhaps to gorge his doom. That was good. What did I say? What did I say?
Gilbert recoils as a wall of fire bursts out of the waterfall. Inside the cave, Bowen gets up from behind a rock.
A little damp for fire, isn't it?
Why must you knight-errants out to make a name for yourselves always pick on us dragons?
I don't need a name, and I have a collection of my own.
Yeah, you're one who kills dragons for money.
It's honest enough work. One must earn a living.
Oh yes, one must live. Well, since you seek a profit, we might as well begin.
Oh, don't flatter yourself. It's not the profit. It's the pleasure.
Perhaps less pleasurable and more costly than you think.
The dragon bursts out of the waterfall and flies off. Bowen is back on his horse and gallops away. Bowen rides his horse at full speed through the forest. The huge dragon flies just above him over the treetops. The panniers on Bowen's saddle flip open, and he throws up a long rope on a winch attached to the horse. The rope wraps itself round one of the dragon's ankles. The creature looks round. Bowen secures the other end of the rope around the top of his saddle, but the tension on it pulls the saddle and Bowen off the horse. He grips onto the rope and is pulled along on his bottom through the wheat field. He's pulled into a hedgerow. He clatters through the foliage and spits out a leaf. Back into a field, he's lifted up into the air.
You can't fly forever!
Neither can you!
Oh, dog!
Come, visit the woods!
Bowen is now pulled through a forest. He tries to weave around the oncoming tree trunks.
Well done! Oh, pity. That must have hurt. Again? And again? How do you like the ride so far? We're earning our money now, aren't we? Now, is there somewhere you would like me to drop you off?
Bowen starts to get down. He approaches a V-shaped tree trunk, jumps off, and wedges the saddle into the V of the trunk. The dragon tumbles into a nearby clearing. Bowen gets up and pulls out his sword.
The sword against the fang and claw. The flame against the shield. Blah, blah, blah. Which one would win? Blah, blah. Field. Shield. Wield. Whose flesh from bones be peeled? Oh, no. Whose fate would soon be sealed? Whose fate would soon be sealed? Whose fate would soon be sealed?
The knight approaches the dragon.
You're good. Haven't had this sort of challenge in some time.
Nor likely to again.
The end of the dragon's tail is armored with huge axe-like blades, which he brings down repeatedly at Bowen, who dodges out of the way. The dragon pushes the knight into a tree. It chops the trunk just above the man's head. Bowen dives into the dirt as the dragon continues the onslaught. He leaps over the fallen tree trunk, and the dragon gets his tail wedged into the wood. Bowen staggers to his feet.
A little overconfident, aren't we?
Hardly. But if you win, you'll be out of work.
I will not stop until I've rid the world of every last one of you.
I am the last one!
The dragon rears up its head and puffs out two huge fireballs, which explode next to the knight. His armor blackened by the blast, Bowen emerges out of the smoke.
You're just trying to save your scaly hide with tricks.
Haven't you noticed the pickings are rather slim these days?
I got me one just the other day.
So it was you who killed the scarred one. She and I were the last. Must have been a proud kill, warrior. How much gold did a tattered carcass put in your purse?
That's none of your business.
Couldn't have been very much. And you'll kill me for sport? And when there are no more dragons to slay? How will you make a living, knight?
Shut up!
The dragon pulls at the rope. It shoots up between Bowen's legs, sending him crashing to the ground. The creature opens its huge jaws to eat Bowen, but the knight stands on its tongue and slams his sword into the roof of its mouth.
If your feet come down, my sword goes up right into your brain.
Time passes. Day becomes night and they're still in the same position.
If your sword goes up, my teeth come down.
Into the moonlit night, the titans dueled. Hey. In mortal combat bound. Who'd the fatal false step make? Whose blood would stain the ground?
Inside the dragon's mouth, Bowen notices a human skeleton arm wedged into the monster's teeth. He lifts it off and stares at it in horror.
Good lord. Sir Eglamour.
He flings it out.
Thank you very much. It's been stuck down there for months. Can you get your buttocks off my tongue?
Why should you be comfortable? My armor is rusting in your drool and your breath. It's absolutely foul.
What do you expect with old knights rocking between my walls? Oh, God, my mouth is so dry.
No, stop!
Bowen's face is covered in slimy spit.
Sorry about that. It seems you're in a bit of a stalemate, wouldn't you say? Ugh.
But I can go 3 days without sleep.
I can go 3 weeks.
I'll stab you before I nut off.
And I'll chomp you. Marvelous. We'll kill each other.
What do you suggest?
A truce. Get out of my mouth and let's talk face to face.
How do I know I can trust you?
I give you my work.
The word of a dragon. It's worthless.
The dragon pushes the knight out of its mouth with its tongue, then it pins Bowen to the ground in its claw.
I should have known. Go on. Kill me.
The dragon swishes its head around to click its jaw back in.
I don't want to kill you. I never did. And I don't want you to kill me. How do we gain? If you win, you lose a trade. If I win, I wait around for the next sword slinger thirsting to carve a reputation out of my hide. I'm tired of lurking in holes and skulking in darkness. I'm gonna let you up now. And if you insist, we can pursue this fracas to its final stupidity. Or you can listen to my alternative.
The knight staggers to his feet and tries to lift his sword.
What's the alternative?
Daylight. The peasants are out in the field gathering wheat. A young boy looks into the sky.
Father, look!
The panic-stricken villagers scatter. The father leads his little boy away as the dragon swoops over the field.
Out of the way! Out of the way! Out of the way!
The monster puffs out a huge jet of fire, creating a long flaming wall across the field. The dragon flies out of the smoke. He swoops down low and blows out another two firebolts, setting alight a little barn. Other farming machinery explodes in the blast. Lord Felton rushes out of a building holding up his trousers. Sir Bowen rides up to him.
Pesky critters, dragons.
You!
Like big rats. You never seem to get rid of them.
Unless you pay me 2 bags of gold in advance.
Then, on the bank of a large lake, Bowen sets a long spear into a wooden catapult. Felton and others watch him nearby.
Come on, dragon. Come on, dragon.
The dragon swoops down towards the lake.
Yes!
The spear shoots up and the dragon catches it.
Oh!
Pretending that it's fatally wounded, the monster falls out of the sky and tumbles into the lake below. The villagers are suitably impressed, and Bowen rides off with 2 bags of gold attached to his saddle. As he rides along by the side of the lake, the dragon swims just underneath the water nearby. Then the monster lifts its horned head out of the water and sees a flock of sheep in a field by the lakeside.
Hello.
28, 29. Most profitable, dragon. I should have met you a long time ago.
There is much gold in the world. Perhaps when you had your fill of it, you'll no longer need me.
I am a knight of the old code. My word is my bond.
No compunctions, then.
About what?
Well, such deception hardly befits a knight of the old code.
Fleecing Aynan's lackeys. That's a service to mankind.
Is it? When you squeeze the nobility, it's the peasants who feel the pinch.
It's not my concern. Why should I stick my neck out for people afraid to risk their own? Don't clutter up a clever scheme with morality.
So be it. Knight of the old code?
If I wanted my conscience pricked, I would have stayed with the priest. And what does a dragon know of the old code anyway?
His blade defends the helpless. His might upholds the weak. His word speaks only truth.
Shut up. I remember. That's all it is, a memory. Nothing can bring it back.
You sound like one who tried.
And failed. So I no longer try to change the world, dragon. I just try to get by in it.
Yes, well, it's better than death, I suppose.
Oh, is it? I should think you'd welcome death. You know, the last of your kind, all your friends dead, hunted wherever you go.
The dragon stops.
Do you delight in reminding me? Yes, knight, I do long for death. But fear it.
Bowen stops his horse, frowns to himself, and turns around.
Why? Aside from your misery, what's to lose?
My soul.
Bowen nods slightly and stares up at the creature. Then he rides on. The two new allies carry on their journey across the countryside, with the rugged mountains in the distance. Later in the castle, the king is dining with his knights. Brock is trying to break the fingers of 2 peasants.
Finish him, Brock!
One of the peasants collapses onto the table. Brock pushes him off. The queen looks displeased.
Shall he continue, mother?
Oh, the field belongs to the apparently inexhaustible Sir Brock, my son.
Einan gets up and pours himself a drink from a shiny silver jug. In its reflection, he spots Kara climb into the room behind him. She pulls out a dagger and leaps at the king. Einan flips her over and holds her down on the table.
The quarry! First you beg mercy for your father's fate, then you try to avenge it. Now you share it.
In your kingdom, Einan, there are worse fates than death.
Aislinn watches, stony-faced.
I'll think one up for you. Take it away.
No! 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 He killed my father! He killed my father! No! He killed my father!
Aislinn looks round at her son sternly. Einan petulantly plunges the dagger into a loaf of bread. Dusk. Fog is swirling around the mountaintops. Einan is standing at the top of the castle's tower. He leans against the wooden scaffolding surrounding it and punches the wood with the end of the dagger. He crosses to another part of the scaffold and looks thoughtfully at the knife. In a dark stone cell, Kara is chained to the wall. A door opens and Einan strolls in. He stops, then walks slowly down the steps to where she's standing. Kara rushes at him, but is restrained by her shackles.
I remember you now. I remember you. Your hair, like fire.
He approaches her.
You gave me this scar, didn't you?
He uses the butt of the dagger to push her face round so that he can look at it.
I owe you.
Then, in the mountains, Bowen is making camp. He tries to light a fire by rubbing his sword with flint. The dragon sits down nearby and watches him.
I can, I really can.
The dragon shoots a jet of fire out of his nostril, creating a roaring blaze.
Sorry, Bowen. I hope you like it well done.
Bowen lays out some of his belongings onto the ground, including his shield.
You must have hated us very much.
I hated one of you. These I killed because I wanted to kill him. But I never found him. I never will. If you're the last, he must be dead.
Oh, yes. Tell me, what was he like, this dragon that you hated?
He only had half a heart. But even that was enough to pollute an innocent boy.
Einan was no innocent. He polluted the heart.
How do you know that? How do you know that, dragon?
The dragon scratches his neck.
We all dragons know that story. What was to be their hope became their doom. A spoiled, ungrateful child was given a great gift and destroyed it.
No! I knew Einan. I was his teacher. I taught him the ways of honor, of right.
Then he betrayed you, just as he betrayed the dragon whose heart he broke.
That's a lie, dragon!
Stop calling me dragon! I have a name.
Well, what is it?
You couldn't possibly pronounce it in your tongue.
Try me.
It's...
The dragon clutches its shoulder and falls over. At the castle, Einan clutches a fresh wound in his left shoulder. Kara retreats, holding up the dagger. Einan touches the blood and looks at her mockingly.
Next time, stab more flesh. Let's clap.
I'll pierce your heart!
She runs at him, but he grabs her and rolls her onto his bed, pinning her down. He pulls the dagger out of her hand.
You already did.
He climbs off her, staring at her intently.
A very special heart. Like no other.
A black, withered thing without pity.
He strokes her hair.
And teach me. Pity me. I'll give you everything. Even power. You're so beautiful.
He kisses her roughly on the lips. She pushes him away.
Even power. You throne.
He looks at her hair, then gets off the bed. He walks down some steps towards a fireplace and picks up his robe off the chair. Bowen puts his robe onto the dragon's side and steam pours off it.
Oh dear. Thank you. It's personal.
What was it?
An old complaint that acts up now and again.
Forgive me if anything I said, if I upset you.
It wasn't you. Not you.
The dragon lowers its head and rests its chin on its front legs, closing its eyes and going to sleep. Bowen crouches by his friend. Back at the castle, Kara, still locked in the bedchamber, is standing at the window. Suddenly, a large stone on the floor in front of the fireplace moves back to reveal some steps. Queen Aislinn comes up them holding candles. Kara jumps down to her.
Don't be afraid. I won't let you suffer the same fate as me. I've come to help you.
A watery, vaulted chamber. Aislinn leads Kara along a path at the water's edge.
This will bring you out well below the castle walls.
They stop by an arch at the end of the walkway. Kara looks into it, then back at her helper. She rushes under the arch. She pops her head back out.
Thank you.
But the queen has gone.
You.
Kara heads off. Back at the camp.
Have you been watching over me all night?
I've been thinking.
Yes? About what?
Many things. Mostly about what to call you. I think I found you a name.
You say that as though you reached up and plucked it from the sky.
I did. Up there. Do you see that group of stars?
I know those stars very well.
Do you see the shape that they make?
Mm-hmm. The dragon.
Yes. They call it Draco. It means dragon. In the scholar speech.
So instead of calling me dragon in your tongue, you'll call me dragon in some other tongue.
You're right. It's silly.
No. No, I would be honored to be named after those stars. I truly would. Thank you, Bowen. Draco. Draco.
The next day at the village, Kara is being pelted with cabbages.
Father sang that sour tune once and we did fight back. And once was enough. We'll not dance to it again.
No, you just cringe like a dog under Einan's boot.
At least a cringing dog's a live one.
Hey! Why waste good food on bad rhetoric?
I speak the truth.
Truth? It's rarely inspiring, lass. And it never wins rebellions. But it will stretch necks. If there is a neck underneath that little mud pie.
Kara takes the watermelon Bowen is holding and squashes it into the knight's face.
Ready or not, here I come!
Draco swoops towards the village as Bowen wipes his face.
It's Draco!
About time.
Draco bashes his tail down onto one of the thatched huts as he flies over. Then he sits down on a nearby hillside.
It seems you people are in need of a dragon slayer.
Where is the lord responsible for this village?
Brock lives in a big house about 6 miles away. But he'll only blame any damage on us and pluck our pockets to pay for it.
I won't pluck them as deeply. I'll make you a fair offer. Take it or leave him!
The dragon puffs out a long stream of fire. Kara gets up from behind a basket.
It's enough, you people grovel to Einan. Will you be bullied by some broken-down blackmailing knight as well?
That's right. You don't need me. Settle it yourself.
Of course, there are other ways. Perhaps you'll part with one of your precious daughters instead of gold.
No!
Hugh rushes over to his three daughters.
Dragons are partial to maiden sacrifices, I hear.
Kara is now attached to a pole.
Don't do this! Don't do this to me! I was born in this village! You know my father! You know my mother!
Who's the girl?
A nuisance! Get rid of her!
Why?
They're trying to placate you with a sacrifice.
Whoever gave them that bright idea?
Never mind. Just get rid of her!
How?
Eat her!
Oh, please. Yeah.
Aren't we squeamish? You ate Sir Eglamore, hypocrite.
I merely chewed in self-defense, but I never swallowed.
Improvise!
All right.
Draco swoops down and grabs the cart upon which Kara is tied up. As the villagers scatter, the cart is thrown down into a duck pond. Owen rides through the woodland carrying his shield. He stops his horse and listens. Draco is sitting in the sunshine outside his cave while Kara is perched on a rock.
You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. We dragons love to sing when we're happy.
Well, you're not like a dragon at all.
Well, how many dragons do you know?
Well, you're the first.
You should never listen to minstrels' fancies. A dragon would never hurt a soul unless they try to hurt him first.
Really? Then why were you in my village?
Oh, village.
Yes, the village. You remember the village?
Leave him alone, you bully. Brunswick will fly, I'll hold him. Hit on someone your own side.
Where have you been?
I'm truly sorry, Bowen. I've been distracted. Bowen, meet Kara.
She points her dagger at him.
You should have eaten her.
Oh, don't get angry, Bowen.
Why not? You left me high and dry. I was worried to death.
Worried about me?
Yes, about you. I had the whacker all set up. Half the village is out there with me. We're searching the skies for you. I don't know where you are. If you're coming back, when you're coming back, you just...
Draco wanders into the cave.
Disappear.
Be careful. He's coming.
Bowen and Kara watch as Einan, Brock, and Felton ride towards them. Kara stares at the king apprehensively.
Well, 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 it can't be. What is this? My old mentor still giving carving lessons.
Get off your horse, I'll give you one.
Time's not being kind to you, Bowen. You should never have broke with me.
It was you who broke with me.
And yet you return to me with this girl I lost.
Kara holds up her dagger and shakes her head.
I think she wants to stay lost.
Not her decision, I'm afraid.
He looks at Brock and holds up his hand, indicating him to stay where he is. He gets down from his horse, takes a few paces forward, and pulls out his sword.
I'm ready for my lesson now, knights.
Bowen stares at him in disbelief and wades into the knee-high water in front of the waterfall. Einan steps into the river as well, and the two men circle each other. Bowen pulls out his sword and forces the king onto the defensive. Einan takes a wild swing at Bowen, who touches the king's back with his sword.
That's one lesson you never learned! Only expose your back to a corpse!
You are a corpse! You just don't know it!
Einan thrusts at Bowen, who falls backwards.
Lay down, Baron! You're the sorry scrap of dead worlds and dead beliefs!
They were your beliefs!
Never mind.
Brock has drawn his sword and waits nearby.
You said the words? You spoke them from your heart?
I vomited them up because I couldn't stomach them. Because I knew it was what you wanted to hear.
Sawyer! I taught you!
You taught me to fight, that's all! I took what I needed from you. You taught me to fight!
Einan lunges at Poen and stabs him in the right shoulder.
You taught me well.
The king pulls out his sword and steps backwards. He puts his sword back in its sheath and turns round. He pulls a dagger out of his belt and turns back to Bowen. But Draco leaps in front of the knight. The dragon pulls up a flap of his scaly skin to expose his glowing heart. Einan, shocked to his core, rushes back to his horse and rides away, followed by his henchmen. Draco watches him go with a thoughtful look.
Who asked you to interfere? I had everything under control!
Draco, Bowen, and Kara are all standing in the water looking out into the distance. Then Bowen is leading his horse along a little wooden footbridge. Kara walks at his side. He touches his shoulder.
Here, let me see.
They stop, and Kara lifts the bundle of bandages from his wound.
It's knitted well.
You have a healer's touch, Kara. In a few days, it'll be just another scar.
And what's one more scar? To a knight, I mean. I once knew a knight. He stood all alone against an evil king and even saved a rebel leader from blinding. He must have had many scars.
That knight died of his wounds long ago.
It's too bad. His kind is badly missed in this world.
That's the way the wretched world is, girl.
It doesn't have to be. Men like you could lead others. You could give people courage and hope.
Hope? Even if you could raise your army, do you think they'd stand a chance against seasoned troops? Last time they tried, it was a massacre. I remember I was there.
So was I. That rebel was my father.
He frowns at her thoughtfully.
Let others stand with you. You'll see this time the end will be different.
He stares at her.
What are you looking at?
Myself. Once upon a time.
He starts to walk away.
I'll see you in the village, Draco.
That's easy for you to say. This time I'll collect the money and you can die.
A spur of land juts out into the lake. A pair of small wooden boats are burning in the water. There are several pigs foraging in the dirt. Bowen stands in front of a group of rough-looking men who are counting money into a bag made of a pig's head.
We can lose no more pigs to this dragon.
Wait! This man is a fraud!
The man starts to lift his axe.
It's her! This girl is a wandering idiot. She babbles nonsense.
I'm telling you, this knight, he's no dragon slayer.
You're mistaken, my child. He's the greatest dragon slayer that is. Possibly the greatest that ever will be. Brother Gilbert!
Bowen, you're alive. Praise be the saints. The saints be blessed. You're alive. And whole.
Brother Gilbert, you could not put your trust in a better man. I personally have seen him slay almost two dragons.
Oh, Brother Gilbert.
Almost.
Well, I didn't actually see the death blow of the second, but as Bowen is here, he must have won.
No. Don't you see? He's in league with the dragon.
Gilbert's confused. Bowen gives the villager a mocking look. Bowen joins in the laughter. Then he sets up his catapult with Gilbert.
Hold that there. And here he comes.
Draco comes swooping down across the lake. Bowen cuts the rope on his catapult, and again the dragon catches the spear. Again Draco tumbles out of the sky and into the lake. Unfortunately, the water is very shallow. Draco lands on his head and collapses onto his back.
Sink! Sink!
I can't. It doesn't get any deeper.
Well done, Bowen. You've done it again. What a brute. That's even bigger than the last one.
Actually, he's about the same size.
The villagers start to emerge from their hiding places. Bowen throws up his arms, not knowing what to do next.
Meat!
Meat! Meat! Meat!
Meat! Meat! Meat!
The barbarians, armed with axes and other weapons, rush across the shallow water to where the dragon is still lying.
Oh dear.
Draco flips himself over and starts to retreat. The villagers run along beside him. Draco is stumbling in the shallow water, trying to get up into the air. Then, with a few flaps of his mighty wings, he flies off. Bowen and his friends stand and watch.
Uh-oh.
The barbarians all have their weapons raised into the air. They stop and turn round, looking menacingly at Bowen and his group.
What's going on?
Meat!
Meat! Meat! Meat! Meat!
Run! That's what's going on!
Run!
Run!
Bowen leaps onto his horse. The villagers are homing in on Kara.
Kara! Kara!
Bowen rides up to her and lifts her up onto the horse. They knock over a villager as they head off. The barbarians are rushing towards Gilbert. He puts on his cap.
Peace, brothers! Peace! Heathens! Brother Gilbert!
Bowen lifts Gilbert onto the back of his horse, too.
Oh, good Lord! Forgive me, my friend!
The villagers are all around them now, baying for blood. Bowen is riding around looking for a way out.
No dragon? No charge.
But the leader, armed with his axe, steps over the bag, and the group close in on the horse. Suddenly, Draco swoops down from above and lifts the horse and its riders up into the sky.
We're going to die! God, help us! We're all going to die!
Calm yourself, Brother Gilbert. We're not going to die. We're just flying.
Get yourself killed. You might as well do it in the fight against Einan.
I think Kara has a point. Oh, but I'd rather discuss it on the ground.
Dusk, and the dragon flies towards the ruins of a fortress on a clifftop.
Draco, what unholy place is this?
Unholy? This is Avalon, the resting place of King Arthur himself.
So it was foretold. So have I found you, brave King Arthur, and let the song that
ever
echo in our enemies'
virtue
as we set forth to strike down the tyranny at once.
Oh yes, truth.
Amen. Ready now, Kara. You, Bowen. Bowen. This is Avalon, the shadow realm of the Round Table. It's a divine omen.
Omens won't win battles, nor will you. And you'll find out when you try to raise your army.
He approaches Kara.
You already know the courage in your village. They're very brave at pelting young girls with vegetables.
It must start somewhere. Will you wish us luck, Draco?
Long ago, when man was young and the dragon already old, the wisest of our race took pity on man. He gathered together all the dragons, making them vow to watch over man always. And at the moment of his death, the night became alive with those stars, and thus was born the dragon's heaven. But when we die, not all dragons are admitted to this shining place. No, we have to earn it. And if we don't, our spirit disappears as if we never were. And that's why I shared my life force with a dying boy, so I would reunite man and dragon and ensure my place among my ancient brothers of the sky. But my sacrifice became my sin.
It was you. Your heart beats in Einan's breast.
Draco lands next to Bowen.
Yes, my half-heart that cost me all of my soul. Even then, I knew his bloodthirsty nature, but I thought my heart could change him. My God, I was so naive.
No more than I. All my life, I've dreamed of serving noble kings, noble ideals. Dreams die hard, and you hold them in your hands long after they've turned to dust. I will not be that naive again.
Mm-hmm. Kara, I will go with you.
Gilbert looks at Kara, who's staring up at the dragon. Owen marches off.
So be it. Farewell, Bowen.
Draco walks off in the other direction. Later that night, Owen is sitting under a stone archway, sheltering from the rain, staring into space.
Valor, valor, a knight is sworn to valor.
He makes his way down a slope over to the tall stone pillars where the voices are coming from. The pillars form a circle. Bowen stands amongst them. Bowen turns apprehensively as a strange light falls over one of the columns. He blinks in the rain and rubs his face. The stone pillar has an ancient relief of a knight carved upon it. Bowen steps towards it and kneels in front of it.
A knight is sworn to valor.
A knight is sworn to valor.
His heart knows only virtue.
His heart knows only virtue.
His blade defends the helpless.
His blade defends the helpless.
His might upholds the weak.
His might upholds the weak.
His word speaks only truth.
His word speaks only truth.
His wrath undoes the wicked.
His wrath undoes the wicked.
Bowen solemnly bows his head. When he looks up again, the strange light has disappeared, and so has the carving on the pillar. Draco's face slowly emerges out of the gloom. Bowen gets up and takes a few paces back. Draco lets the rainwater run off his wings. Next day at the village, Kara and Gilbert go and see Hugh in his field.
Now I know you're completely mad. You want us to follow you and a priest against Einan?
Yes.
To hell more like.
But this time we can win, you don't understand.
I don't want to understand. I understand this. I understand 6 years in a quarry. That's all I need to understand.
I know. Believe me, I know what you've been through, Hugh. But this time we've been joined.
Only a fool would be mad enough to join you.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I don't want to listen to you. I had enough of your mischief.
An arrow sticks in his shovel. It's from Bowen, who is galloping his horse along the hillside towards them.
Save your strength for the fight against Einan.
There isn't any fight against Einan.
I'm going to start one.
You and what army, knight?
As the others watch, Bowen rides up to the hilltop. With the sun rising behind them, he and his horse are silhouetted. The horse rears up on its hind legs as Draco flies over the hill. Then preparations for battle are being made. The women are making arrows. The men are firing at makeshift scarecrows. Bowen stands by Gilbert.
You have never fired a bow in your life, in anger or in practice.
No.
Draw your bow. Sight along the arrow. Release.
The arrow sticks in the target's head. Gilbert is bewildered.
Beginner's luck. Try again.
Steady.
This arrow pierces the target below the belt.
Brother Gilbert, you're a natural.
Kara practices with an axe on a chunk of wood.
Easy. Here, widen your stance.
He holds onto the axe with her.
Up, down, up, down. One, fluid, stroke.
They look at each other awkwardly.
This could cleave a man's skull.
Bowen throws the axe. It wedges into a nearby pumpkin.
Like a pudding.
He smiles at her and walks off. Kara watches him go with a caring look. Birds fly out of a wheat field. Brock rides up and releases his falcon. He rides his horse over the brow of the hill and stops as he looks down at the battle training going on in the village below. Draco is sitting amongst the huts. Brock rides off. Back at the castle...
I need more men!
It's a waste of money. It's just a few peasants waving pitchforks. I notice they're all on your land. You're not too busy hawking in your old age to keep control of your minions, are you?
Excuse me!
Just say that any one of us is worth 100 of them.
My brave Felton. An army unto himself.
Einan pushes Felton's head down.
Fool! I know this man who leads them, and I will not underestimate him! Him or the dragon!
Don't be afraid of the dragon, my son.
Einan's courtiers make a little bow.
I'm afraid of nothing! Nothing! You understand?
The king gives Felton's head another shove and walks off. Then Aislinn leads him through an archway.
A mother's gift to her son. Finest to be had.
The finest what?
Dragon slayers.
Five heavily armored soldiers with fearsome helmets carrying pikes and axes look up at the monarch. The sun is setting over the village. Draco and Bowen are walking along the hillside nearby.
Have you thought beyond tomorrow?
It's hard to see that far.
Look at the camp. What do you see? What do you hear?
Hope.
Exactly. Down there you have life, songs, and courage. You have everything you'll ever need. And now, so do I.
The dragon is sitting on the grass. Bowen leans on him, and they watch the sun disappear over the horizon. The next day, Bowen appears on his horse on a hillside near the castle. Einan is standing at the ramparts looking down at him wearing his chainmail and carrying his helmet. Brock, Felton and other soldiers stand behind him. The villagers, each carrying long wooden pikes, emerge from the woodland and group around the knight. They form a line and Bowen rides along it, carrying his shield bearing the image of a dragon's head.
Defy me at my own gates. Look at him! Well, today his code dies once and for all! No! We're safe here, Your Majesty. That rabble couldn't possibly storm the castle. By tonight, they'll be cold and wet and tired. They'll probably just limp off home.
Bowen raises his shield.
We're safe here, Einan! Remember your father!
Draco swoops out of the sky and snorts a jet of fire onto a nearby rampart, throwing soldiers backwards. The dragon slayers are priming their catapults. Draco bashes into the side of the castle and it bursts into flames, setting off the catapult, the spear of which plunges into one of the dragon slayers. Another slayer is checking his catapults. As Draco flies over, he releases them. But Draco catches the harpoon spears and pulls the ropes, squashing the slayer under the wooden war machines. The king and his army of knights on horseback ride out of the castle. Aislinn watches over them from up in the ramparts. They reach the hillside and form a line overlooking the peasant rebellion. Bowen looks resolute below them. Einan, wearing a silver and gold helmet, nods to himself as his men assemble.
Let's shear them like the sheep they are! Ah! To the forest!
The peasants turn and flee across the grass towards the woodland, pursued by the mounted knights. The villagers dash in amongst the trees. The king and his horsemen charge into the wood. Bowen swings his horse round to a stop. The peasants stand in a long line and form a barricade with their lances. A villager swings down from the trees above them with a flaming torch and sets a light to a line of ground in front of the horses. Bowen raises his sword.
Second line! Lightman advance!
Hugh leads another group of villagers who rush forwards. The king's horsemen are hemmed in by the flames.
Charge!
The peasants run towards the king's men, and battle commences. Up in the treetops, Gilbert is standing with two archers. He holds up his bow and arrow and takes aim, but he lets the bow fall. Then he has another go, but again he loses heart. Einan on his horse is in the midst of the fighting. Bowen watches as the king makes his horse jump over the wall of fire. The heroic knight sees the king chop down one of the peasant pikemen and ride off. But Kara is in armed combat with one of the king's men. She and the soldier are swinging at each other with axes on opposite sides of a tree. Bowen bashes a soldier over the head and stabs him. He gets off his horse and swings at another. Kara ducks out of the way of her attacker and sticks her axe into his back. Bowen and Kara bump into each other.
Like a pudding.
A group of villagers are being chased by knights on horseback. Gilbert draws back his arrow and fires at a target, which releases a large log, knocking the knights off their horses.
Cry both before the fall.
Then he fires at a knight chasing a peasant. The arrow hits him in the bum.
Turn the other cheek, brother.
Bowen is taking on two knights at once with his sword. With her axe, Kara is doing the same. Einan rides up and surveys the scene. With a look of disbelief, he sees his men dead on their horses. Others are being pulled from their mounts. The peasants are winning.
Retreat! 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 Return to the castle! Retreat!
Brother Gilbert! It's Einan! Stop him!
Gilbert takes aim at the king.
Thou shalt not kill.
Gilbert fires the arrow into Einan's chest. Draco falls out of the sky above the castle. Bowen, seeing what's happened, looks with concern at the castle, and then Einan. The king slowly pulls the arrow out. Bowen, Kara, and Gilbert are all shocked.
The dragon slayers.
Einan races back to the castle. The dragon slayers are putting large padlocks onto huge chains.
Open up, it's the king!
Einan rides into the courtyard where the dragon is chained to the ground.
Stop! No! I want it alive! Alive and safe.
He approaches the ailing creature.
Safe for all eternity.
Oh, no.
I go to save the dragon! Who will go with me?
Hugh and the other peasants hang their heads. Bowen puts his sword back in his belt. He turns to Kara. She smiles at him and they stride off. Gilbert heads off after them. Nighttime, and one of the dragon slayers is keeping guard over Draco. The Slayer's shadow is thrown up against the wall and shows her being stabbed by the Queen Mother.
Come from the shadows, Aislinn. Come where I can see you.
She slowly walks up to him, kneels by his head, and bows.
You know why I've come.
I know. In giving my heart, I've taken on every poison stirring in his evil breast. Even the pain of his death must be mine.
You cannot blame yourself. Death without immortality.
That was not the only reason. I had to wait for a time when mankind would not repeat my mistake and let tyranny thrive. When there would be those who remember the once ways, remember that even in the darkness there is still light. I cannot see. Are the stars shining tonight?
The Queen looks up with tears in her eyes.
Brightly, my lord. Brightly.
Then let us end it.
She picks up a lance by his head and lifts it up.
Forgive me.
But Iron grabs it and pulls her to him.
I know why you brought me the Dragon Slayers. You wanted them to kill him because you wanted me dead.
I wanted to correct a mistake made years ago when I saved a creature not worth saving.
He wrestles the lance from her and stares at her coldly.
How unmotherly of you.
She turns from him and walks slowly away. Einan looks at Draco. Carrying the lance, the king follows his mother under the shadowy archway. Kara has led Bowen and Gilbert to the underground watery passage. Hugh and a few of his men have followed them in.
We have to open the gates. The rest of us are waiting outside. Go save your dragon, Bowen. Hurry, Elliot.
It's this way.
The stone in the bedchamber moves back, and the three of them climb up the steps.
Well, 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 what a pleasant surprise. I expected you, Bowen, but with my bride-to-be as well. And with a priest to wed us.
To bury you.
Einan sits up and gives him a disdainful look.
Well, to bury one of us.
Einan leaps at him with his sword. Kara and Gilbert struggle to shut the door. Bowen trips Einan, but the king kicks Bowen over and he falls near to the passageway entrance. His head is in the way of the stone sliding closed, but he's pinned to the floor by Einan. He lifts his leg up and flips the young king down the steps into the passageway. Bowen rolls backwards down the steps too. Meanwhile, Hugh reaches through a grill and bashes two guards before leading his men further into the castle.
Hurry, that way. That way. That way. This way. This way. Come on. Come on, hurry up.
Bowen finds the king motionless at the bottom of the steps. He heads down towards him, but Einan thrusts his sword up at him, and the fighting continues under the arches of the watery underground passages. Elsewhere in the castle, Felton scampers down some steps into a dark corridor. He sees a shadow of a figure holding an axe. He ducks into a recess in the wall. He sees that the figure is Kara and grabs her from behind and puts a knife to her throat.
I don't know how you all got in here. I tell you this, you were going to get me out.
Felton's been stabbed in the back. Kara pulls herself away. Hugh stands over him.
Hugh. Thank you.
The two of them grab each other's shoulders before going in opposite directions. Kara runs up some steps and up into a small courtyard. She enters a dark archway and is pushed backwards by Brock. He pulls out his sword and swings at her. She ducks and weaves out of the way. He seems to have her trapped. She picks up an axe on a long pole.
Let me cut it down to size for you.
But as he swings at her, she stabs him in the stomach. Kara stands over him panting, then rushes off. Einan and Bowen are still fighting and have reached the top of the tower, surrounded by the wooden scaffolding. With a swing of his blade, Einan cuts Bowen's sword in two. Bowen retreats until he's lying on his back with his head dangling over the edge of the tower.
Bowen!
The knight grabs a rock and smacks it against Einan's head. Kara throws Bowen her axe.
Bowen!
Oh, I'm immortal.
Bowen swings the axe at Einan, who is forced backwards. But the axe's blade sticks into the arm of a wooden crane. The crane swings out from the tower with Bowen hanging onto it. Einan thrusts at him, loses his balance, and plummets downwards. Down into the waters of the underground passageway. An archer is taking aim at Bowen. The knight grabs hold of the rope at the end of the crane's arm. He falls downwards. A basket of rock flies upwards on the other end. Bowen reaches a platform below him. A soldier attacks him, but the basket drops down and clunks the man on the head. Draco puffs out two firebolts, which set the archer alight. Bowen leaps down into the courtyard and starts to unshackle the dragon.
Now it's you, Bowen. It's you that has to do it.
What are you talking about?
As the heart binds Einan to me in life, it binds us in death.
That's not true.
You've seen that it is. Through the heart, we share each other's pains and power. But in my half beats the life source. For Einan to die, I must die.
Einan is dead.
He lives!
It doesn't matter. Don't you hear it? Our rebels have stormed the castle, alive or dead. Einan's beaten. We've won.
You will never win until Einan's evil is destroyed. And to do that, you must destroy me.
No.
Once you swore your sword and service were mine, to call when I had need of you, to ask what I would of you, I hold you to your vow, knight. He's coming. Coming to stop you. Strike before it's too late.
Bowen holds up his axe. But it's Kara who is standing on a podium above him. She shrugs her shoulders and shakes her head.
You are the last.
My time is over! Strike!
You are my friend.
Then as my friend, strike, please!
I can't.
Then I will make you.
Draco lunges at Bowen.
Fight back, Dragon Slayer! Defend yourself!
He blows out two long jets of fire, but Bowen stands in between them and stares at the dragon. Gilbert enters the courtyard and watches. Bowen throws down his axe.
Hang on up!
Einan has his sword at Kara's neck.
Move! And she dies!
Gilbert has no arrows left. Draco thrusts out his clawed hand and Einan clutches his own hand in pain. Kara escapes from him. Einan pulls out his dagger. Bowen picks up his axe. Einan runs at him. Bowen looks round at the dragon, who lifts up the flap in his chest to expose his glowing heart. As Einan is about to strike, Bowen throws the axe up into Draco's chest. Einan stumbles, and Bowen flips him onto the ground. He's about to stab the king with a dagger, but Einan, mouth open in horror, breathes his last breath. Draco looks at Bowen, closes his eyes, and puts his head down onto the cobblestones as if he's going to sleep. Bowen, Gilbert, and Kara all watch with great sadness. Hugh and his men finally burst in through the gates. Hugh looks at Bowen, and he and his men approach him. The the knight walks up to the mighty creature and crouches by his head.
Without Draco, without you, what do we do? Where do we turn?
The villagers are assembled around the body of the dragon, but it suddenly vanishes and is replaced by a pool of glowing light. Bowen stares at the light and touches his face.
To the stars, Bowen. To the stars.
Those gathered watch with a mixture of sorrow and awe as the glowing light starts to rise slowly into the sky. They look up at the dragon formation in the stars. The glowing light is journeying towards the constellation. The stars in the group all slowly merge with the glowing light to form one big star. This explodes into a myriad of lights. For a moment, the lights form a very vivid image of Draco. Then they revert back to their former placings in the constellation. Hugh, Kara, Gilbert, and Bowen all look up in wonder as the new Draco star shines brightly down at them.
In the days following Draco's sacrifice, Bowen and Kara led the people in a time of justice and brotherhood. As I remember it now, those were golden years, warmed by an unworldly light. And when things became the most difficult, Draco's star shone more brightly for all of us who knew where to look.
The end.